Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Nahi Anil Ida, the chapter on the prohibition of causing any harm to anybody. Islam, Sharia, Deen is so beautiful that it has prevented us from causing harm to any human being, causing harm to any animal also. And if that animal happens to be a dangerous animal, a poisonous creature, or some insect that causes harm, then also Sharia tells us that use the most effective way. You got permission here, but use the most effective way that will cause the least harm to that creature or that animal that you need or intend to kill, because it's a harmful insect or creature or animal, but use the least painful method. So what Sharia is teaching us, that when it comes to human beings also, don't cause any harm to anybody. Kisi ko takleef mat dena. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah rahmatullahi would emphasize this a lot. This was like his pet topic. That don't cause any takleef to anybody. Any type of takleef. Takleef doesn't just mean physical harm or physical discomfort. It means psychological, emotional, it means financial, it means mental. All different types of difficulties and hardships you can cause to any person. Don't cause it. And be so careful that I mustn't cause takleef to anybody. So this is the quality of a believer. All the time he's concerned that am I causing any difficulty, any hardship to anybody. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه قال الله تعالى والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا. The ayat of the Quran, Allah Pak says, those who accuse believing men and believing women without any sin on their part will bear the burden of slander and a manifest sin. So this of just slander, yeah, slander is not causing any physical harm, but is causing emotional harm, psychological harm. So even that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who accuse believing men and accuse believing women. So here they're using their tongue, it's verbal harm they're causing, without any sin on their part. In other words, these people haven't done anything wrong. These other people are just causing slander. He's speaking out against them. These people didn't do anything wrong. What Allah Pak is saying will bear the burden. The people who are causing the slander will bear the burden of slander and a manifest sin. And this hadith that we did, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. And an immigrant, a muhajir, is one who abstains from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Look how beautiful the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. That a Muslim is one who other Muslims' tongues, a Muslim is one whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe from. In other words, there is no verbal harm also. No lies that can be spoken. Anything that the tongue can cause harm, this person doesn't have it because he's a true believer. So other people are saved from his tongue, other people are saved from his hands. One point that Shurah, the commentators of hadith, pull out from this, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min lisanihi wa yadi, that his tongue and his hands, other people are saved. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word tongue first. Why? Because before the hands can cause any harm, already the tongue is causing harm. You'll notice in a dispute, in a fight, long before the actual hand, the use of the hand starts, the use of the tongue starts. People must use the tongue both ways. Now the tongue is going, and then the hands start. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that even the tongue, there's nothing like that. Forget the hands. And then the hands come. So the tongue is person, the next person is safe, and hands also the next person is safe. Ulama explained that in Shariat, you get four branches of deen. One is akhlaqiyat, that a person's character, his akhlaq, whether he's got anger in him, he's got jealousy in him, he's got hatred in him, he's got conceit and pride in him, he's got greed in him. So all these bad qualities, whether he's cleaned out of it or whether he has it, that now forms a person's character, his akhlaq. So that is one branch. The next branch is ibadat, a person's acts of worship. And the acts of worship are between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under these acts of worship, which is the second branch, under these acts of worship, you get four big branches. Roza, zakat, hajj, and fasting. So they are roza, zakat, hajj, and fasting. And then you get the person, first you get salah. So salah, roza, zakat. and Hajj. So with person, if he masters Salat. Now this person, if he masters his Salat. And why ulama have just left out Hajj from this? So it will be Roza, Zakat, fasting and Salah. Because Hajj, not everyone can perform. Sometimes the rich or the person that has got the money can perform. The person that hasn't got the money, he can't perform. So it's not everyone. But these four things, every person can perform. His Salat, his Zakat, except if a person is a poor person, obviously. Then his fasting, and then you get the person that is doing his fasting and his Zakat. So anyway, these four things, ulama explain that if a person, for example, he brings Salat right, he gets his Salat right. So he gets his Salat right and he masters his Salat. So he's only got 1/4 of 1/4. In other words, Ibadat in the broad spectrum makes up 1/4 of Shariat. Under Ibadat, 1/4 of it, 1/4 of it is Salat. So he's mastered his Salat, he's only mastered 1/16 of Deen. So a person should never feel comfortable that I've got deen in my life because I'm reading my salah. Yes, it's a very great thing that a person is reading his salah, but 1/16 of deen doesn't make up the whole of deen. So the next thing, the next part of deen is, so the first we mentioned ibadat, then is a person's akhlaqiyat, the next is a person's mu'amalat, a person's business dealings. How he's doing his business dealings. Is he careful about the way he deals? Is he dealing in halal? Is he dealing in haram? Is he careful about what money he's taking? Is he careful about paying his creditors on time? Is he careful about paying his staff on time? All this forms part of mu'amalat. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, narration of his, mentions that if a person happens to buy a cloth for 10 dirhams, and 9 dirhams is halal, and 1 dirham from there is haram. Now, so long as he's wearing that cloth, 9/10 of it is halal, only 1 dirham is haram, since this person, ibadat is not accepted, because he's wearing that cloth that is haram. 1 dirham from there is haram. Not the whole cloth also, just 1/10 of it is haram. How careful we got to be that everything we purchase, everything we do is with halal funds. We should make it a point of seeing that whatever we do is halal. If you're not sure, ask someone who knows, but let us make it very sure that this is halal. And the last part of it is mu'asharat, which ties up with our topic here, is a person's social dealings, his interaction. Interaction with his family, interaction with his friends, interaction with his neighbors, interaction with his staff, interaction with the musalli, interaction with the general public. How is this person's character? How is this person's akhlaq? And this makes up a major part of our deen. You can see that deen is not confined only to ibadat. Deen is a very broad spectrum thing. It covers a person's relationship with people. It covers his inner qualities. It covers his business dealings. All this is covered by deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. From here we see from these ahadith that a person has to be so careful that he doesn't cause harm to any person. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayhi was so careful that very often he would make this announcement that be careful that your cars are not blocking. Rather, you go outside after salah, check up your car is not blocking. Better thing for you to do than to stay and read long nafil namaz, your car is blocking. Now this is just an example to show us how careful a person has to be when it comes to his akhlaq and causing harm to people and his social interaction with people, how careful he has to be. In fact, ulama explained that a person, when he is parking, this is an example, when he is parking, he mustn't say that I didn't intend blocking somebody. Rather, ulama say that he should intend not to block anybody. It's a big difference. He doesn't say I didn't intend and it happened. No, but when he's parking at that time, he should intend not to block anybody. So a big difference. And now this, with anything a person is doing, he should intend that I must do the right thing. If I'm going, for example, if I'm using the bathroom, I should intend that I must keep it clean so the next person that is coming to use the bathroom, they must also feel comfortable to use the bathroom. How I deal with the things in the house, where I leave the items in the house, how I leave the dishes, for example, how I leave my clothes, how I leave items, all this will form part of a person's character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, this is a very big and long topic, may Allah give us the gist of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So careful he was of everything. Even when he would go out, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would open the door slowly, he would go out slowly, he would close the door slowly, and even when he would make salam, he would make salam in such a tone that if the person that was awake, he or she will be able to hear it. If a person was sleeping, their sleep also won't get disturbed. So careful he was about these minute things. These are things that may seem minute, but they are very, very great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.